topic, and it's going to get more complicated. It does get more complicated. But we'll try and understand it. Maybe the shailas will continue to come, which is fine, and that's where it should be, but at least we know what the issues are. So, we discussed last week that even though the pot is clean, and there's nothing, no residue in the pot, nevertheless, there's a concept of tam keker, which means that the taste of something gets absorbed inside the pot by hot, obviously through heat, and therefore, when you cook something in that same pot, then the absorbed taste gets expelled, and it goes into your food. And therefore, if you cook a chicken soup in a milking pot, we hold tam keker, that's basar b'chalav. And basar b'chalav, it becomes usur, the food becomes forbidden to eat in. And the pot, obviously, is mixed with treifa food, basar b'chalav food, and the pot needs to be kashered. We said, however, that if the food was cooked, the milk was cooked in this milking pot before 24 hours ago, so right now the pot is cleaned, so even though milk gets or the taste gets expelled now when you cook it with the chicken soup, but it's only a nice and tam nivdam. It's only a bad taste that goes into this chicken soup. It's a taste which has no potency because it's after 24 hours. And therefore, nice and tam nivdam, if it's a bad taste, it cannot make any of the chicken soup, it cannot make any of the chicken soup treif. It cannot pass all the chicken soup because it's a nice and tam nivdam, it's a bad taste, and then your soup would be okay. After 24 hours, anything that goes back inside the food is always going to be okay because it's nice and tam nivdam. Nevertheless, we said that even though right now there is no basar b'chalav, because the taste that came out of the milky pot was considered a pogrom taste, it was a bad taste, nevertheless, the pot has to be kashered. Why does the pot have to be kashered? Because there's a gzeira from Chazal that no matter what, even if the taste is a very old taste and it cannot have any potency, but you might come and use a pot that's used within 24 hours. And therefore, such a pot cannot be used for meat again. Because even though the milk taste is an old taste, but you're going to use that pot, you might confuse it with a fresh pot, and therefore you cannot cook meat in that pot. We said you cannot cook meat, and you cannot cook milk either, because it was just cooked now for the chicken soup, so now it has a taste of chicken soup in that pot. So even if you're going to wait 24 hours, you cannot use it for milk either. Hence, the pot cannot be used for milking some fleishiks, and the pot has to be kashered. We said that last week. Any questions on that? Any questions? Okay. Now we're throwing in another variable, a new variable. What happens if I have a fleishka pot, and I cook chicken soup in a fleishka pot? Legit? Fine? No problem whatsoever. And now, right, no problem whatsoever. And now I take a milchige spoon from the drawer, clean milchige spoon or milchige fork, and I put it inside this pot, cooking fleishige chicken soup in a fleishige pot. So now we have another variable. We have the status of the food that needs to be discussed. We have the status of the pot that needs to be discussed. And we have the status of the spoon that needs to be discussed. In other words, we just threw in another thing. It's similar to the previous case, and we have to know what the concepts are. But this brings in a new variable that you put in a spoon inside this pot. So we have a new variable now. What's the status of the spoon? So based on what we learned last week, right, of tam ki ikar, so now, if this spoon, right, the fleishige chicken soup in a fleishige pot, there's no problem with that. That's legit. That's the way it should be. The milchige spoon, if it was used mikveh was not used within 24 hours. The milchikus room was not used for hot milchiks within 24 hours. It wasn't put in the dishwasher. Was not used for hot milchiks within 24 hours. So now, if I take this spoon and I put it inside a hot chicken soup, is that any different than taking my hot chicken soup and putting it inside a milchig pot, which was not used 24 hours?
The size of the spoon.
Yeah, but the size of the spoon. But besides the size, I'm going to get to that.
The spoon can't give, but the chicken soup...
Slow down. So this we're clear about. Right. That's good. So this we're clear about. That taking chicken soup in a milchig pot would be, is the same, whatever we said last week on the chicken soup and the milk pot should hold true of the milk of the spoon in a chicken soup pot, fleishige chicken soup pot. Which means, if the milchige spoon was not used within 24 hours, the milk spoon was not used within 24 hours, so what taste comes out of this milchige spoon? A real taste? Yeah. Only nois and tam l'gam.
Right.
Nois and tam l'gam. So therefore, the nois and tam l'gam, which comes out of the milchige spoon into the chicken soup, is that going to make the chicken soup a problem? Are we going to say that the chicken soup is mixed in with milchige taste of the spoon? Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
No.
Clearly not. Because the nois and tam l'gam. It's after 24 hours. The spoon was not used for 24 hours. It's sitting in my drawer for at least 24 hours. It was not used with hot milk. It was not put in a dishwasher with hot water. It was nowhere near milchiks for the last 24 hours. So, and the spoon is clean. So any taste coming out of that spoon is a pagam taste. Tam pogum. And therefore, it's not going to make the chicken soup anything. Is the chicken soup permitted to be eaten? Clearly, yes. Is the pot where the chicken soup is that a problem? Well, if the chicken soup can be eaten, and the taste coming out is a pogum taste, there is no mixture between meat and milk in my chicken soup pot, then the chicken soup pot is also okay. There's no shy about that either. How about the spoon itself?
No, that's a problem.
So true. The milchige taste that goes into the chicken soup, hot chicken soup, is a pogum taste. And therefore, the chicken soup is fine, the pot is fine, that's correct. But the taste, not the taste, the chicken soup goes into my milchige spoon. So clearly my milchige spoon is like that original pot, milchige pot, that had chicken soup in it. Which means that a milchige spoon has to be kashrut. And even if I wait 24 hours, it doesn't make a difference. Again, I can't use it for milchiks, I can't use it for fleishiks, the spoon has to be kashrut. There's no question about that. Any questions on that?
So it doesn't become meat. It can't be, because it already has the top.
What?
The spoon can't, you can't make it into a meat.
No, because it has milchiks in best. So it's like that milchige pot that you put chicken soup inside. You have to kasher it. You can't use it until you kasher it. Because if you're going to use it for meat, you can't use it. You can't use it for milk either. Same thing over here. The spoon, it's already milchig from the past, so you can't use it for meat ever. You can't use it for milk either, because it just had meat inside. Because the milchige, the fleishige chicken soup went into the spoon. So that's clearly a problem. So the spoon has to be kashered, no question about it. Yes.
My only question is about the dishwasher that you mentioned, but I feel like that's a whole can of worms, so maybe
we'll just
go
right,
back
right,
to it
right,
later.
Right. It's a big problem. Can of worms. Dishwasher is a problem, because dishwasher, if you had it inside with milking other dishes, and it was dirty, and anything like that, the milk went inside, and all that. That's why I didn't want to go into a dishwasher issue.
Okay, but even if I'm thinking just hot water, like I'll often turn on my hot water to fill up a pot in the sink with soapy hot water, that hot water, is that as hot as a dishwasher? Like,
Depends. Is it 110 degrees? Probably.
So you could touch it with your hand.
Probably is, because you don't touch it. It's hot water. Yeah, so that might also be a problem. So that's a problem question. It was milchiks
we go back to that issue later.
We will go back to it. We just want to get the concept clear. Okay. So let's say, but we're talking about a spoon that was taken from the drawer, and there was no issues, and you took it like that. There was a clean spoon. Obviously, if it's a dirty spoon, there's nothing to talk about. That's really basa b'chalav, meat and milk together. But if it's a spoon from the drawer, you put it inside your fleishiga pot, we know the status. The pot was not used 24 hours, the food is good, the pot is good, the spoon has to be kashered. That's clear. Let's go to the next step. How about if the milking spoon was used within 24 hours? Right? The milking spoon was used, my kids use it for lasagna. I mix it for lasagna, they ate lasagna with that. And by mistake, they used it to mix the soup on the fire or hot soup on a plate. Same thing. They took by mistake a milking spoon that was last night used for hot lasagna and they used it to eat their soup. So now ready, there's two issues over here. The taste coming out of the spoon, is that a tam livgam? Is that a bad taste? Or since it's within 24 hours, it's a good taste. So it's a good taste. A good taste of milk coming out of the spoon into my fleishike chicken soup. What does that mean? Tam ke ikra.
Soup's a problem.
Everything is a problem. The spoon soup is a problem. Basa b'chalav. The pots that you cook the soup in, basa b'chalav was cooked into it. The spoon obviously is a problem. All three things are a problem. The spoon, the pot, and the chicken soup. Yes?
Let's say you're using it, like, not mixing the actual soup on the oven, on the, you know, on the burner, but let's say it's like you're just eating it, but the soup is not that hot.
Depends how hot it is. Anything which is less than 110 degrees.
I mean, if they could put it in their mouth.
Anything which is less than 110 degrees is never a shayla. It's like cold. If you rinse it off, clean it off, all this is only predicated on the fact, and that's obviously when it's clean. Meaning, tastes only come out of kalim, of utensils, only through heat above 110 degrees. Liquid heat through 110 degrees. Anything less than that, liquid, not liquid, and below 110, is not a problem. So what do we do in such a case? In other words, if you have the soup, and the spoon, and the pot, all this would be a problem, because it's a fresh taste. A fresh taste is called basa b'chalav, tam ki ikar, tastes like everything, and therefore all this would be a problem. There's a caveat, and here's the big caveat. How much taste, or how little taste, will affect the food? Meaning, maybe not any taste that affects the food. If I put a drop of milk to this huge container of meat, does that also give a taste to the meat? Or maybe not. Meaning, even if everything falls into place, that it's all hot, it's all within 24 hours, it's all a problem, but there could be a caveat, there could be a reason why it's okay, because even though a taste comes out, it's not enough to give a taste. It's too little of an amount, it's a minute amount. And that's the next topic. There's a concept in halacha, which is number one on the sheet, which really means that something which is min b'she'enoi minoi, which means something which is two different food items, b'taima, which means that it depends on how much taste it gives off. Which means that if the item that gives off the taste is too small of an amount, if the item gives off a taste that's too small of an amount, then we say that taste is batal and doesn't count. That's what we call in halacha, bittul. It's batal. Now, how much is the bittul? So in a time, really in Ikra, then based on the Gemara, depends on the chef. The chef would taste it, and he'd say, this chicken soup, I taste the milk inside. Right? I still taste it. Until he stops tasting it, it has an effect. Once he stops tasting it, then it doesn't have an effect anymore. So really, based on the Gemara, it depends on how well he tastes it. How well, obviously, would have to be a non-Jewish chef. The Gemara calls it a kfeila. A non-Jewish chef would have to taste it and say, do I taste the milk in this chicken soup? Or do I not taste the milk in the chicken soup? Now, since today's day and age, we don't really know how to taste that well, the taste. And you don't always have a non-Jewish chef available. So Chazal made a rule that taste will last up to 60 times. That's the concept of batel b'shishim. Which means, if you have 60 times the amount, then it's called, then it's up to 60 times, the taste has power. The taste means something. If it's more than 60 amounts, then it's batel b'shishim, and it's like nothing went inside. So that, what does that mean? Classic case. Right? Before we get into the utensils, this concept of batel b'shishim, which means that taste only has an effect only if it's less than 60 amounts that it falls into. But if it's this huge thing and a tiny drop falls in, there is no problem. So for example, if I have a drop of milk that falls into my soup pot. Remember what I said, into the soup pot. So the outside is a whole different issue. We'll discuss that later on. But if I have a drop of milk, and what's it? I have a big pot of chicken soup sitting on the stove, and my little kid comes with the milk from the bottle and spritzes a spritz into my chicken soup. Right? There's no utensils over here. It's real basar b'chalav. It's milk falling into the chicken soup. But then the answer will be that it depends. If you have shishin, if you have 60 times the amount of chicken soup against that drop of milk, it's batel b'shishin. And it's as if it all disappears. It's like it's not here. So if it's not here, what does that mean? Could I eat the chicken soup? Yes. Does the pot have to be kosher? No. There's no problem. That's straightforward halacha. For example, if you see, where is it? 1b. Chatichas, the Chachmas Adam, Chai Adam says, Chatichas basar shenoflo leyuba shel chalav, a piece of meat that fell into a pot of milk, v'teach hat, or the opposite, shenoflo ma'at chalav legdere v'tacha shel basar, or a little bit of milk fell into this big pot of meat, misha'arim v'shishim, you check with 60 times, im yeshishim neged ha'basar, or ya chalav, mutter, v'imlav, hakol asur. If it's 60 times, it's all permitted. If it's not 60 times, it's clear basar b'chalav, and everything is a problem. Now, this is important to know, that when it comes to basar b'chalav, you always have to check 60 times, meat and milk, against the amount of milk that's in the thing that fell in. So the classic case is, my baby spritzes a little bit, my grandson, spritzes a little bit of milk, spritzes the milk into the big pot. So then I check. Okay, 60 drops. For sure. It's not a problem. Let's say I'm cooking. I put in an ingredient. And I didn't realize. I get this question all the time. I cook in my chicken soup. I put in ingredients. Oi! I look afterwards. It was always parma. I see it's dairy. What happens? I put a dairy ingredient in my chicken soup. That's basar b'chalav. What do I do? The chicken soup is no good. The what's name is no good. The pot is no good. It's all a problem. So you call up the Rav. The first thing the Rav will ask you, how much did you put in? Was it 60 times the amount of chicken soup against what you put in? Now, by the way, this 60 times only helps if it's mixed in. You don't see it. If I take a piece of cheese and I throw it in my chicken soup, we don't say 60 times. You have to take out the cheese. Now, the 60 time helps on taste. Taste that's invisible, I don't see in front of me, then I say, oh, the taste is okay. But the piece of chicken or cheese, hard cheese, in my chicken soup, you can't say, well, there's 60 times, so let me add a dash of what's name. So that you can never do. And by the way, and another thing, 60 times bittul only helps after what's done already. You're never allowed to be mevatel lechatchila. Which means you can never say, let me put in a dash of milk into my chicken soup. It's anyway batel b'shishim. Also, you do that, you're shaking. You're over the Issa de Rabbanon. It's like being working on Shabbos. Your business open. After it was done, you ask a shayla, then we can permit it based on bittul b'shishim. So there is a concept, one second, of bittul b'shishim, two big limitations. A, it can never be done, lechatchila. That's A, mevachin es lechatchila. It doesn't work, we do lechatchila, you're not allowed to do that. That's number one. And number two, it only helps on the taste coming out, it doesn't help on the actual piece. So if by accident a piece of cheese fell inside your chicken soup, or a piece of meat fell inside your onion soup, you gotta find that piece of meat, take it out. Oh yeah, but it gave off a taste when it was cooking inside. That taste might be bottom machine. So then you'll have to see how much fell in, and etc., etc. But, and digressed. But back to the original case. I take my ingredients and I pour it inside my chicken soup, thinking it was parver. Didn't do it on purpose, think it was parver. And then it turns out, I look at the ingredients, and there's milk inside. So the first thing you do, you call the rabbi. What does he do? He asks you, well, how much did you put in? Was there 60 times against the chicken soup? The chicken soup against the ingredient that you put in? And they'll say, definitely not. It was a little bit of chicken soup I put in, and I put in some barbecue sauce, and it turns out it had what's inside. It had milk inside, I didn't know, it never had that, a new thing, they put in a D over there, never knew that. So we don't have shishim. But the truth is, you don't look at shishim of whatever you put in. You have to look shishim against the milk that's in the product. Batul b'shishim is against the milk in the product. So therefore, if the product has milk in it, but you know, sometimes you see the product less than 2%, contains the following, and the bottom is milk. So you know there's less than 2% already in the product, in the milk. And you put that product by mistake inside the chicken soup, then I guarantee you there's more than shishim, more than 60 times against the milk in that product that you put in. So when you check batul b'shishim, generally you only check when against the amount of milk that's in the product. Once the milk in the product is batul b'shishim, you're good to go. One exception, one big exception, which is complicated, but let's say I had a chicken soup, right? Chicken soup. And by mistake, I put in milk, or I put in something, and it was treif. Clearly treif. There's no batul b'shishim, it was treif. Batul b'chalav, it was a problem. And then I took a piece of that meat, which was in the chicken soup, a piece of chicken, and I cooked it something else. Or I took a little bit, I took, let's say, a handful, I took a cupful of my chicken soup, and I cooked it in some other chicken soup. Big pot of chicken soup. Got it? Understand the question? I put something, basar b'chalav, chicken and meat and milk together, no good. I took that chicken soup now, and by the way, these cases sometimes happen. And then what happened was, I took a little bit and I put it as a stock into something else. Right? I put it into something else. So now, the first question I ask you, wait, that was treif. You could put in something else. But maybe it was shishim. Well, shishim, you check against what? Against the original milk in that chicken soup? There we say no. Since the chicken soup got mixed with milk already, so that whole thing became no good. So now you need 60 times against whatever you took from that forbidden basar b'chalav mixture, you need 60 times against that whole mixture. You got the difference? In other words, if I just put an ingredient inside my chicken soup, so I say chicken soup, basar b'chalav, I gotta check 60 times against the amount of milk that went into my chicken soup. But let's say there was, that's we know. Always check against the milk product inside the item 60 times. Let's say I had already something which was by mistake done basar b'chalav. Once it already has a name of basar b'chalav and it's already treif, because it's basar b'chalav, there was no 60 times, it was ben yayim, it was within 24 hours, it was no good, then that already becomes, the Gemara calls it chaticha nasas nevela. That entire piece becomes a forbidden thing. And then if I take that and put in something else, I can't, against another chicken soup, I can't say 60 times against just the milk in that original thing, because that whole thing became no good. I need 60 times against whatever I put in into my new mixture. That's the concept of shishim. So there's a concept of shishim which kind of protects me and helps me and tells me that, okay, if it's bottled with shishim, it's okay, but there are limitations to that. The limitations are A, never permitted to do it l'chatchila, forbidden. B, bitul b'shishim, what's the second thing we said? Never allowed to do the chatchila. Second thing is, bitul b'shishim does not help on the actual piece, on the actual item, only on the invisible taste, or the thing that gets mixed in together, I don't see it anymore, then we say bitul b'shishim. But if I see the item there, there is no bitul b'shishim, you gotta take out that item. And the third thing is, generally speaking, you only check shishim against the amount of milk that went into the meat. I take an ingredient, as long as it's 60 times against that ingredient, or against the milk in that ingredient. Unless it became already basa b'chalav, it became already no good, and I take that into something else, then you need 60 against the entire thing that came into the second mixture. That's the concept of bitul b'shishim. Any questions on that? Simple? Straightforward? Great. Not so easy, but okay. Now let's go to the next step.
Until we get into the kitchen, that's really
great. Until we get, now let's go to the next step. Let's put both things together. Bottled shishim together with tam ki'ikar, with the taste. That's the question we start off with. The spoon going, the milchiki spoon going into the fleishige hot chicken soup pot. So let's say like this. Let's say, one more thing I forgot to mention. So, yeah, before we get to the spoon. So now let's put both things together. So now what happens, let's go back to our question that we discussed last week. The first question. If I take chicken soup, and I warm it up in a milky pot. So what's the halach? What do we say to Allah? We said, if it's not used 24 hours, so then the chicken soup is okay, but the pot has to be kashered. Right? We know that. If it's used within 24 hours, then what?
The chicken soup is not okay.
Chicken soup is not okay, and the pot, clearly not okay. Everything is straight. Right? We said it last time. Well, now we have the concept of batel b'shishim. So maybe we say that whatever chicken soup is inside the pot, why do we say the chicken soup is not okay? Where is the mixture between the chicken soup and the milk? Where is the milk over here? Where's the milk?
The whole pot.
In the pot.
The taste where?
Pot.
In the pot. So maybe there's 60 times chicken soup against the pot. And bottle of shishim is okay with the evet. What's the question?
A large item.
What's a large item?
The pot.
The surface of the pot.
So Chazal tell us, the Shach says really, that almost never will you have a pot that the inside of the pot, and I can give you a mathematical formula for it, the inside of the pot is 60 times against the walls of the pot. No such thing. In other words, unless you have a huge wide pot with a very thin wall. Because you really have to say, we don't know how much milk went into the pot. We know how much milk went into the pot. So we have to assume that the whole wall around the pot is filled with milk. So if you have to assume the whole wall of the milk, of the pot, is filled with milk, then you need 60 times of chicken soup against the wall of the pot. Unless it's a very thin pot and a very large pot, very hard to find. Even mathematically, any of you math majors, there's a formula for it, that mathematically it will not work out, because you know, as you get inside, more and more inside the pot, the circumference gets smaller and smaller. So how are you going to get 60 times? Meaning, even if you say that, okay, the thickness of the pot is an inch, and my pot is 60 inches, but it gets smaller and smaller every time the circumference. So therefore you don't have that same amount 60 times. So very rare, you understand what I'm saying? It's very rare to have the inside of the pot 60 times against the walls of the pot. And therefore, when you cook chicken soup in a milking pot that wasn't used, or that was used within 24 hours, it doesn't change the halacha that the chicken soup is treif. Because there is no shishim, there is no 60 times against the walls of the pot. He's simply not going to have it. Right? Maybe big industrial things, we have these huge pots and they're not so thick, so the walls are not so thick. It's a possibility. But generally speaking, all the pots that we have, you'll check it out and see, mathematically, come home, give it to one of your, if you have sons who are like math whizzes, it's a good thing to give them. So tell me if you can fit 60 times the surface of the walls inside that pot. Almost impossible. And therefore, the halacha still stands. You put filet chicken, chicken soup in a milk pot that was used within 24 hours, the chicken soup still remains strength because there is no bittul b'shishim. However, where could you have bittul b'shishim? In our scenario that we spoke about today. The same like the pot with the chicken soup, but not pot in a chicken soup, but rather a case where I have chicken soup in a fleishige pot, and I put in that milchige spoon inside that fleishige pot. Remember we start off the question, we said if I put a milchige spoon in a fleishige pot, we said, oh, you all said, it's the same like we did last week, very simple, right? It depends. If the spoon was not was used within 24 hours, it's all no good. If the, we said, if the spoon was used, not used within 24 hours, then we said, the chicken soup is okay, the pot is okay, the spoon needs to be kosher. But if you said if the spoon is used within 24 hours, right, spoon is used within 24 hours, then we said, wait a second, chicken soup is no good, the pot is no good, and the spoon is no good, it's all no good. But now we're introducing bittul b'shishim. What does that mean? That means that if I can have 60 times the amount of chicken soup against, we'll soon see against what, but against the milk that's in the spoon, then even if it's not used within 24 hours, even if it's used within 24 hours, the spoon, it should still be okay. Why? Because it's bittul b'shishim. If I have 60 times, in other words, if I take my spoon, my milchige spoon, that's used within 24 hours in a hot chicken soup pot, but wait a second, you're right it's within 24 hours, and you're right the taste of the milk in the spoon goes out into the pot, and you have milk and meat together, and everything is straight. But how much goes out? Only a little bit milk goes out. How much milk goes out? Whatever is inside the spoon. So if I can fit 60 spoons in my chicken soup, in other words, I know how much the spoon is, and the chicken soup is filled up to the top, and I put in, I see, oh, easily I can fit 60 spoons across the entire chicken soup, then what came out of the milky spoon? Only the size of the spoon. It became bittul b'shishim. Again, there's no piece over here, it's not l'chatchila, it's b'dievet, and it's 60 times. And if it's 60 times, then what's the status of the soup, of the chicken soup?
It's okay.
Then we say that no real milk came out, it was within 24 hours, but the milk became bittul in the chicken soup. And therefore the chicken soup is
okay.
The pot is okay. And the spoon needs to be kosher. Exactly. That's the concept of bittul b'shishim, where we take the taste with tam ke'ikar, with the spoon, and we put it all together with bittul b'shishim. That's the concept of bittul b'shishim, which gives a hefer. Now, that concept is not going to work, in the case, like we said, where you have the chicken soup in a milchige pot, even though it's only taste of the pot coming out, because you don't have 60 times the amount. But in a scenario where you have the chicken soup in a fleishige pot, and rather than putting the chicken soup in a milchige pot, you put a milchige spoon inside a fleishige chicken soup, which is the opposite in reverse, the same case in reverse, there you can throw in bittul b'shishim, and that will work in such a case. Now, one more thing. How much of the spoon is really milchus? Meaning, let's say I don't have 60 times against the whole spoon. Do I need 60 times against the spoon? Do I need 60 times against the milk in the spoon? 60 times in the part of the spoon that went into the pot? How much do I need? 60 times against what? That's also a whole big question. Really, Meikar Adin, you only need 60 times against the amount of milk that was used in the spoon within 24 hours. Got it?
No.
It's very little.
What?
It's very little.
It depends. It depends how much. Remember we said that
it tastes.
Remember we said that the ingredients, if you put the ingredient inside the chicken soup, you only need 60 times against the amount of milk in the ingredient. Right? That makes sense? With the bottle of shishim? Same thing over here. The spoon, the taste is like the food itself. So the taste of the milk inside the spoon is like the milk itself. But how much milk went into the spoon that gets exported now in the chicken soup? So it depends. If I know that my kid, I only had a drop of milk, right? Hot chocolate milk. And I first put in my coffee. I had a drop of hot milk. And I used a spoon to stir it. So I only know there was this much, an ounce of milk within 24 hours, hot milk, that touched the spoon. Not going to the dishwasher. Separate discussion. But only an ounce of hot milk that touched the spoon. Then technically speaking, I don't need more than 60 ounces of chicken soup. Because how much went inside that spoon within 24 hours? Not more than the amount of milk that was there. If I don't know how much milk I had, then I have to assume that all the milk went in to the size of the spoon. Meaning the spoon cannot hold more milk than the size of the spoon. So if I have a spoon that's this big, then this entire thing gets filled up with milk. But it cannot be more milk than the spoon can hold. So how much milk is in the spoon? The size of the entire spoon. Then I need 60 times against the entire spoon. So that's off the bat. Then there's something else. Well, how much of the spoon went into my chicken soup? If I just put in a little bit of the spoon in my chicken soup, do I say I need 60 times against the entire spoon? Or 60 times against a little bit that went in? So I would think 60 times against the milk that went in. Only I touch a little bit, went like this. Ah, it's like I put it in. Why did it go 60 times against the whole spoon? Just about, I don't know how much milk went in. So let's say this much went in. So this one goes inside the pot. That should be enough, I would think. Not so simple. Big machlokes about it. Because other people say
the spoon
that,
gets hot.
What?
The spoon gets hot.
The spoon is within the confines of the pot.
Steam.
Of the pot. So therefore all the steam is over there. So others say you gotta check against the whole spoon. If you have such a thing, call me up. We'll discuss. You probably call me up beforehand. Anyway, by the way, the concept of the shear maybe is not so much that you should be able to decide yourself.
You should know what to even call you.
You should know. You become more aware of what's going on in the kitchen. So that's also a good thing in general. I mean, I'm sure you're all very much aware, but like, it's, oh yeah, this is a question. I'm living it, yeah.
Let's say it's a ladle, like a dairy ladle.
Same thing.
A ladle's big.
Correct.
Even if it's 60 ladles in your soup pot, necessarily.
Depends. Not the whole filled up ladle, just
the
surface. Of the ladle, the thickness and the surface of the ladle, yeah. So figure out how much a ladle is. Now, by the way, a ladle is a big thing, because a ladle has a very long handle.
Yeah.
So how much you check? The whole ladle, it's not filled up the ladle, it's the metal, the iron of the ladle compounded, how much that is, 60 times. But if it's the whole stem of the ladle, that's much bigger, correct?
So you would ask that?
Yes. How much went into the pot? Went like this? Was it in the pot? Was it outside the pot? Others say you just went in for a drop very quickly, so then you clearly only check what went in because it didn't have enough time to get heated up. If it sat there, then yes, that's complicated.
It's only if it was used within this 24 hours. Right. So if it wasn't
correct.
Used within
it's all lived down.
Can you continue to use it?
No, because anyway, can get the ladle has to be kosher. No, the ladle has to be kosher. As soon as it happens, oi, I can't use a ladle for anything. Basa b'chalav, has to be kosher. The ladle always remains strafe. That has nothing to do about. You took a milk ladle, put it in a hot chicken soup, that ladle is strafe no matter what. The question is the soup and the pot. So till now we said if it's used within 24 hours, then the soup is no good, the pot is no good, the ladle is no good, nothing is good. Now we said, oh, but if it's shishim, it is 60 times against the milk, or against the ladle, or against the spoon, then the soup will be okay, I'll save the soup, I'll save the pot, the ladle cannot be saved, needs to be kosher no matter what. Yes, what's your question? Oh, you had a question?
Cold milk.
No, they're not. But cold milk and then in the dishwasher, that could be a problem.
And washed in the same blood.
Cold water or hot water?
Hot water
is a problem. Because you put hot water on the milk, then that milk gets absorbed into your spoon. So then that's a problem. But maybe only the amount of milk gets absorbed into the spoon is only the drop that was on top of it. Call me up. That's the questions we need to ask. Yes?
So let's say your dairy ladle was used within 24 hours for in your dairy pot, but for a part of soup.
Separate discussion. That's all.
I told you one time.
We'll discuss all part of it next week.
I called you once with a question like that.
Yeah.
I was making meatballs, and the spoon that I used to mix the meatball bags, I put in my power of soup.
Right. So all this we'll discuss. We'll get that, but not all next week.
Okay,
we have to first understand the concept. So that's the concept of little shishim. One more thing which I want to discuss. Yeah, go ahead.
No, and let's say your ladle that you want to kosher. Let's say it has a little plastic on it.
Right. Call me up. You can kosher that also. The handle, yeah.
Can we do a koshering series as well? How do we kosher?
You're right.
This is just our life that's easy. And we must be
tired. No such thing as tired.
Okay, one more thing. One very important thing which many people don't even know probably. Well, one more thing which many people don't even know. Something else. So this bitul b'shishim and the concept of understanding makes sense, that's all very good, right? Now, that's all if the drop of milk, and so we discussed the actual milk falling inside the soup, we discussed the ingredient falling inside the soup, we discussed the, not the milk, but the taste of the milk, which is really the same, tam ke'ikar, the taste of the milk falling into the soup, by the spoon, bitul b'shishim. Again, lechem tam gam, it's always okay. If it's not less time down within 24 hours, it's always a problem, unless it's buffalo shishim, but the ladle over the soup or the spoon always needs to be kashered. That's what we discussed so far. One more scenario, which is problematic, which is not that I have, we're not talking about the ladle anymore, we're not talking about the spoon anymore, we're talking about a drop of milk falling. If the drop of milk falls inside my soup, what's the halacha? Buffalo shishim, right? The drop of milk falls in soup, there's no problem. Right? There's nothing to discuss on the spoon because there is no spoon. It's just the soup and the pot that the soup is in. There's nothing else. There's no third variable because it's just a drop of milk that filled in. If it's there, you gotta take it out. You don't see it. It's gone. It's mixed in. Then it's bottom position. It's all permitted. How about if the drop of milk splashed, even cold milk, splashed on the outside of the hot pot? Ooh, that happens, right? Sometimes. Could happen. People call me up with that all the time. So if the milk splashes on the outside of the hot pot, in halacha, there is no difference whether it comes on the outside or on the inside. Just like the taste goes through, when it's not there, it stays inside the pot and it goes through, and then you cook chicken soup in the milk in the pot, that's a problem. So when the cold milk spills on the outside of the hot liquid pot that has liquid on it, right, or the pot that's cooking, so we say that the drop of milk goes through the walls into the pot. So you say, so what's the big deal? Very simple. Take a look whether bata b'shishim. There's 60 times, then there's no problem. And I'll tell you, you are right. If there's bottle of shishim, there is no problem. But there's a caveat. Chacham said that you're right. If it falls inside the soup, no problem, bottle of shishim. The food soup is good, the pot is good, no bottle of chalav, it's all good. But if it falls on the outside of the pot, so what are you worried about? That it went inside? Then you're right. If it's bottle of shishim, you're good to go. But we're worried that maybe some of it goes through the pot and gets mixed in. The taste gets mixed in with the chicken soup. But some of it stays behind in the pot itself. So then we say that you're right. The food is going to be good. Why is the food good? Because whatever went through is bottle of shishim. But the pot has to be kashered. That's a very funny scenario. Where the food is good, and the pot has to be kashered. Why? Because the milk that went in, went through the pot, got mixed in with the thing. Fantastic. But maybe part of it stayed behind on the pot. And now you have a flesh of your pots that has milk mixed in together with that pot. That pot has to be kashered, cannot be used unless you kasher that. That's the last halacha you want to see on the sheet. The Achas Shulchan, the last thing, 5b, or the last one, 5. B'chol mokayim shenoyfel, any place where the drop falls, mifapeya v'tafshel, it gets mixed in to the mixture, the hilchah, and therefore, im yesh shishim, if there's 60 times the drop, muti b'chol inyon, im ein shin shishim, if there's no 60 times, you can splash the whole thing of milk on the side of your pot, asa b'chol inyon, it's all forbidden. V'hakdeiro v'depat, anu oisrin b'chol inyon. We always forbid it. Afilu shiyesh shishim neged hanoyfel, even the 60 times against the drop, mishum dechayshinum, because we worried, shemanishar mashu b'doifan hateva. Maybe mashu, a little bit, stays behind, nish'ar, in the walls of the pot. So we learned today, very, very important, we learned, there's such a thing as, we introduced the third variable. What happens if I put a spoon inside a fleshke pot with fleshke chicken soup, but a milky spoon? So it's like the same of last week, we said not quite the same. Because even though technically if it's not 24 hours, after 24 hours, we know that halachas, and if it's within 24 hours, it's all no good, unless it's batul b'shishim, then it would be okay. What's batul b'shishim? So we start batul b'shishim, if you have a little bit of milk that falls into your flesh, your chicken soup, it's all okay if it's 60 times the amount. If you put in an ingredient, we say it's also okay if you have 6 times the milk ingredient, milk part in the ingredient, it's also okay. And the food is okay, and the pot is okay. We said, however, if you cook chicken soup in a milky pot, even though only the walls are saturated with the milk, but it's never 60 times the amount, and therefore, the original halacha stands that the chicken soup, if it's within 24 hours, it's all treif no matter what within 24 hours, and after 24 hours, the soup is okay, and the pot needs to be kashered, because it's basar b'chalav. However, we said, when it comes to the spoon, there you can bring in the concept of shishim. Which means, if I have the spoon, which is within 25 hours, after 25 hours, then the chicken soup is always okay, the pot is okay, the spoon needs to be kashered. Within 25 hours, the chicken soup is not okay, the pot is not okay, the spoon needs to be kashered, unless you have 60 times of mixture that goes against the spoon. Really, it's against the amount that got mixed in, but we don't know how much got mixed in, so unless you know, we assume that the entire spoon got mixed in, and therefore, whatever volume you have in the thickness of the spoon, you gotta have 60 times of mixture mixed together. I don't think it helps if you have a piece of meat, maybe yes, maybe no. It's mixture that gets mixed in together, you need 60 times that spoon. If you have 60 times that spoon, then the soup would be okay, the chicken soup would be okay, the pot would be okay, but the spoon, of course, needs to be kashered because that's milchik that went into a fleshke thing. And then we discussed that all this makes sense, and bittul b'shishim can never do the chatchilik, can never do it on your own, can never do it beforehand, you can never say, bottle anyway, let me do it already, and it only works on if it's a tam, if it's not visible. If you actually see the piece, we don't say bittul b'shishim, that's never going to work. And then we said that all this makes sense if it actually falls in to the chicken soup. But it is on the outside, so yes, whatever goes inside the chicken soup gets bottle position, and that's good. But we're worried that part of it stays in the pot, and therefore the pot always needs to be kashered. That's, in a nutshell, what it's going to be. So it's getting more complicated. Any more questions?
So when I hear all of that, so then I sit there thinking, oh, all right, the outside is to me even more, would be more common than me throwing milk in.
Yeah, outside happens.
We kasher all our pots now.
Like, why?
I don't, I don't know, because what would happen?
Because you could be cooking like two things at the same time.
Yeah, the pot is hot.
But that's a
lot. Pot is hot.
If you have one stove on top, a dairy milk,
I do
want a little bit of dairy
milk.
And I want to ask a question about cooking.
What?
Cooking of meat.
I know.
No, or a power of, like you're cooking like a power of vitamins.
Power is a different story.
Does that power of pot become flesh?
No. Power is different.
It won't become flesh, even if like something drips, like your soup splatters and it hits the power?
Power is different because power is we'll discuss next week. Let's listen to Tom.
You don't have to have two sets of burners. By the way, again,
I'm a traditionalist when it comes to these things. In the olden days, you did not cook your chicken soup with your what's the name, lasagna, because you know why? Because you didn't give your kids choices. What do you want tonight? I want chicken soup.
No, but you could be eating chicken soup for Shabbos.
And I take that when I think, because my kid is hungry,
she
wants lasagna. Sorry,
on
egg.
They want to eat, I don't know. It happens all the time.
Am I right? It's what she does. It's crazy.
I had somebody use my ovens in the basement for an event. They said, is the oven flay shicks or mugs? I said, what difference does it make? You know, we grew up with one oven.
That's a difference. We'll discuss ovens as well. But in the olden days, you didn't cook on the same stove at the same time. Milk makes inflation. Either you milk makes inflation.
You're cooking for Shabbos on Thursday night. Right? You're cooking for Shabbos Thursday night.
Again, to be chayshish for something, you have to be chayshish for it. And people ask me, call me up. Something splattered, something splashed, and everything. So, if you didn't do anything, you have to work, catch all your stuff now, you don't have to do that. So you leave it like this. But yes, you should be careful. If you have a hot chicken soup and you're right next to it, your kid wants to make lasagna with cheese, everything's just bad. No, I'm making chicken soup. Be careful. Don't do that. Very simple.
What about steam from the chicken soup?
No, because it all gets dispersed.
I always wonder about the spices. We
have
separate spices.
Why?
I pour salt into the chicken soup, and the next day I pour it into like a...
And you worry that the thing comes back up?
Yeah. Steam into the garlic. Steam into the black pepper.
We have separate salt shakers. No, the salt shakers for the table. So everyone puts salt into their chicken soup and I'm like...
Is it already like under 1 cent?
Depends, is it?
I don't know.
So that's a classic question. Now the oldest that we discussed is not just in a pot on the fire. If I have a hot chicken soup in a bowl and I use a dairy spoon to eat the hot chicken soup, the same halachas would apply.
It's not
if it's... Yeah. No, in a bowl, for sure not.
Right, so I'm saying it's not.
Exactly.
Wait, so, then, not through so, many
so what? If it's, right. if it's hot, at the end of the day, at what point it's like that. At the end of the day, if it's hot, so we say that it connects in whatever it's what's named.
But with shots, it's halacha, don't we consider
I know. It's the question. I know. So the question, we do that by Basu Machalab also. It could be it's not Mavashal at that point. It's debatable. You have a question, call me up on that. Depends what, when, how. It depends. I mean, I wouldn't say that the chicken soup in a bowl is not hot. Usually it's hot, right? Yeah. More than 110 degrees.
I don't know what's 110 degrees.
Right.
Can we have like a temperature?
Check it out. See if we can in there.
We'll have thermometers in our kitchen.
Take a therapy. Take a what's name. Take a test. Cook up a thing of thing. Wait till it cools down for the temperature thing. See how it is. Now I know what it is. Yeah, but we couldn't discuss the question about the drum on the outside until we discuss everything else first.
No, I'm saying.
Right, so I know that's the most.
I feel inherent. Like I feel like my kitchen is straight. Like I really do. I'm serious. With one, like just we'll have to do like a
bone torching. At the end of the day, it's nice and calm and gamma, correct? It's after 24 hours.
Right.
Most things are.
But it's like 6 months ago I fried an egg.
Right, so now it's 24 hours, so it's butter. It's apple, it's the gum, it's all mutter, but yeah. Right. So if you know for a fact, yes. If you don't know for a fact, you may have tasted it.